ethical states prioritize autonomy, self-government, dignity, and public welfare, limiting actions. Government agencies, nonprofits, and businesses collect data and conduct experiments on their audiences to shape behaviors. But are they using this knowledge to manipulate, something many people oppose? Or are they simply influencing, which most find more acceptable, though ethical boundaries should still be clear? Ethical governments prioritize individual freedom, self-rule, dignity, and public well-being. These values guide their actions and serve as benchmarks for their decisions. However, governments have a duty beyond avoiding harm. They must also enhance people's welfare, which doesn't always happen on its own. Sometimes, they resort to coercion, though sparingly. Banning certain actions can limit freedom and lead to unintended consequences, like creating underground markets. Instead of force, governments should opt for influence, which can drive desired changes while respecting people's choices. Government influence. All governments use their authority to ensure people obey laws, preventing crimes like murder and rape. They enforce these rules through punishments such as fines or even the death penalty. Additionally, they employ psychological tactics to influence behavior. By 2014, 136 countries were using these methods in their policies. But is it ethical for governments to manipulate people in this way? Some believe it's essential for maintaining order, while others argue it strips individuals of their autonomy and treats them as irresponsible. Nudges. Gently influence without coercion or punishment. The reasons behind why people nudge each other hold the key to many questions. When nudges aim to support self-governance, independence, well-being, and respect, they are considered ethical. However, nudges that work against these values are not. Generally, when the market fails to provide clear guidance, governments step in to correct people's actions either through coercion or nudges. The choice of tools should match the situation at hand. Unlike fines or arrests, nudges gently steer people while still leaving them free to choose otherwise, thus preserving their autonomy to a greater extent. For an action to be considered a nudge, it must be independent and self-contained without being paired with incentives or punishments. Some nudges provide information, some serve as reminders, and some guide by illustrating how others behave. Environment shapes choices through choice architecture. People make decisions within a framework called choice architecture, which shapes their options. This system doesn't always have to be designed by humans, even the weather can act as a form of choice architecture. Not all choice architectures or nudges are equal. Governments may remain neutral in certain areas, allowing people to freely make choices in matters like religion or politics while ensuring tax compliance. When thinking about whether nudges are ethical, it's important to look at different types of nudges. Nudges that teach or inform are seen as better than those only focused on changing behavior. Nudges that rely on people's existing tendencies are considered less ethical than those that don't. And nudges that aim to prevent self-harm might seem more controlling than those aiming to prevent harm to others. Design ethical nudges. When the government tries to stop people from hurting themselves, it needs to design nudges so that those being nudged feel like their situation is getting better. These nudges should reflect the choices people would make on their own in ideal situations. Think of a GPS dash, it guides people as they would guide themselves if they knew the way. Ethical nudges often educate people so they can make their own choices, or they help people make decisions by giving reminders. Officials may misinterpret people's knowledge or preferences. A challenge with nudges is discerning which mindset of a person the nudge targets. For instance, does it consider someone's perspective as an alcoholic or as a former drinker? In such cases, relying on the judgment of someone who has overcome addiction might be better. However, this introduces a new issue as nudge creators shape the judgment of the person they rely on. Some folks think they can figure out which lives are objectively good or bad and then make decisions for those people. But both practical and theoretical reasons say otherwise. It's not cool to decide stuff like that for others. Ethical questions arise because differing values guide government actions. While promoting people's welfare seems straightforward, there's disagreement on what constitutes welfare and how to measure it. Some argue that decision-making is like a skill, individuals improve with practice. This perspective values autonomy over well-being, seeing free choice as a positive. Manipulation undermines dignity and rationality, making it unethical. Some folks say nudging others is disrespectful because it's like making choices for them. Even those who love freedom can see nudges as tricky because people still get to choose. When people make bad decisions because they don't know better, nudges can actually give them more control by providing helpful info. But sometimes, nudges can still mess with independence by making people pay a price to process them. Critics of nudges often say they're paternalistic, meaning one person is basically steering another's choices. But whether this criticism holds water depends on the type of nudge. Take educational nudges, like a GPS giving directions based on data, they're not disrespectful. But some nudges, like a public health campaign shaming overweight people, definitely cross a line. Even educational nudges can be iffy if the government keeps reminding people of stuff they already know. Worries about dignity and independence remind us how important it is for folks to be in charge of their own lives. This ties into the idea of democratic self-rule. In democracies, leaders gotta answer to the folks they serve. Being open about why and how nudges are used helps, along with making sure any nudges respect democratic values. Ethical considerations in influencing behavior. Courts have looked into coercion a lot. They've talked about lying and trickery, but they don't often talk about manipulation or whether it's wrong. So, let's lay down some groundwork. Something's manipulative if it tries to change how people act without giving them enough room to think for themselves. Manipulation is bad because it doesn't respect people. It stops them from considering their own interests and messes with their independence. When the act is especially selfish and stops people from thinking for themselves, ethical concerns about manipulation get even bigger. Fast, intuitive system 1, slow, conscious system 2. Manipulation often sneaks past our rational thinking to target our instincts. Those who manipulate usually hide their true intentions, keeping things unclear. Some people, who prioritize others' well-being, might justify all sorts of manipulation if they believe it's for the greater good. But the problem is, manipulators can't read minds, and when their tricks are uncovered, it feels like a betrayal. However, there are exceptions. In cases like addiction, where people might agree to be manipulated for their own benefit, it's a bit different. Manipulation might be okay if it's not too extreme and the manipulator means well and knows what they're doing. But if it's really bad, ignorant, or malicious, it's not okay at all. Trying to regulate manipulation legally comes with risks, especially when it comes to free speech. Beliefs on nudges, ethics versus specific nudges. In democratic systems, people's beliefs about nudges matter. There's a shared ethical understanding that shapes how individuals see ethical issues. When surveyed, mostly in the United States, but also elsewhere, people don't have strong opinions about nudging in general. Instead, they judge specific nudges based on their intentions. People support nudges with legitimate and important goals but oppose those they see as wrong or conflicting with their values or interests. This includes nudges that penalize inattention, impose costs without an opt-out, or demand donations to specific charities. People tend to back nudges that appeal to their logical thinking, not emotions or habits. But if a nudge feels too controlling, they'll push against it. Political associations can tint people's views on nudging, depending on the political perspective they connect it with. Trust in those crafting the nudges increases people's support for them. Default rules shape behavior. People tend to accept them without questioning. Citizens have two energy options, eco-friendly green and cheaper gray. If gray energy is slightly cheaper, many choose green. But if gray is much cheaper, only the wealthy or dedicated opt for green. Social norms favoring green energy boost its adoption, even with higher costs. Government default rules, along with change costs, shape choices. Planners must set defaults carefully due to ethics. High-cost defaults force a choice between values and finances. Defaults matter because people tend to stick with them. Defaults represent social approval of a choice, often serving as a reference point for decision-making. Changing from the default can feel like a loss, driven by a fear of drawing disapproval from others. However, default rules may fail in situations where the cost is too high, when people strongly prefer other options, or if they see the default as flawed. The power of active choice. Requiring active choosing can sometimes be more effective than setting a default. This approach works well when there are multiple solutions or when personalization and diversity are priorities. Yet, making active choices can be challenging for future decision makers who may lack sufficient knowledge and could make errors. Governments must mandate cautiously to protect. Nudges are attractive because they guide people without taking away their freedom to choose. But when we know people might make harmful choices on their own, is it better to require certain actions? Some situations justify mandates, especially in cases involving violent crimes, where nudges aren't enough. Governments step in to forbid such actions. In some instances, the market fails to protect people, making it too risky to rely solely on free choice. Requiring a prescription for certain medicines is an example of a mandate. While some may see such mandates as limiting personal freedom, even staunch supporters of freedom recognize that absolute free choice isn't always ideal, like not allowing people to sell themselves into slavery. Limitations of mandates. Mandates limit freedom and diversity by imposing the same rules on everyone. Policymakers, often lacking full knowledge, may create laws unsuitable for complex systems. These flaws should prompt governments to proceed cautiously and rely on empirical research when implementing new mandates. Key points. 1. Ethical governments use nudges to balance freedom and welfare without coercion. 2. Nudges empower individuals to make informed choices while preserving autonomy. 3. Choice architecture guides behavior ethically, respecting autonomy. 4. Transparent, educational nudges empower individuals, unlike manipulation. 5. Democratic societies judge nudges based on intentions and values. 6. Default rules and active choice mechanisms influence behavior,